Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12th and final round.
Right hand, Golovkin steps in and down he goes again.
Unbelievable.
Mayweather makes him pay. What a rookie mistake.
A sensational left hook by De La Hoya.
It's facts. I'm the best. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to believe it myself, but it's the truth. I'm the best.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
From Southern California, this is the Last Round Podcast.
Welcome back to this week's episode of the Last Round Podcast. We appreciate you for listening, whether you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, but I think they're going away soon. So if you're listening on Google Podcasts, please find another platform that we are still on, because I think they're either merging into YouTube Premium Music or something. We'll get some more news on that. But we want to do here a bonus edition of this week's episode of the Last Round to give a quick reaction of the recent news that happened this week, that Showtime Boxing, pretty much Showtime Sports, is going, I guess, out of business, for lack of a better term. Paramount, which is a parent company, announced today, at least an internal memo to employees, that they will be exiting the sports business. But what better person to have than to speak on that and give us a reaction and possibly some future potential news he thinks might happen in and around the sport, and who might get involved, who might not get involved. He's been on the show before. He's a filmmaker, and he's now the chief digital officer for NIL Partners. Jay Chandri joins us again on the Last Round. Thank you for joining us, Jay.
Thank you for having me, boss.
We appreciate it, man. So real quick, before we get your reaction, you have been saying this for quite a few years now. I remember the first time we had you on a while back, we dove deep into this, and you kind of talked about your concerns with the sport of boxing and broadcasting and then the digital landscape. When did you know, let's go within the last maybe year or so, when did you know that the beginning of the end was coming for Showtime Boxing?
Okay, sorry. No, I was saying, before I even start, I just want to send out my heartfelt, sincere, respect to the Showtime crew, for those who were just bystanders and all this. Everybody from the production crew all the way down to, you know, even the cam ops, editors, crew members, directors, producers, writers. They're all just affected by this deeply. I think there was somewhere around 35 people who got let go this morning. So, this is no attack on any of the staff members there, but just as a collective feedback and reaction to, you know, what transpired itself. Going to your question about when did I actually have an inclination of the beginning to the end, it had to be the day that VideoAmp partnered with Paramount. So VideoAmp is a company based in the U.S. They're a new frontier of data metric analytic platform, where they kind of it's full transparency. So unlike Nielsen, they actually have tracking on all the viewers and their data from where they live, with their zip codes, to their viewing habits, to the algorithms, to what they're watching, how much of it they're watching. It's called audience retention and this side of things. And it's a pretty deep rooted system that calculates viewership on a very high level. And so the day that they announced the partnership with Paramount, it was sometime around the same time where Showtime partnered with Paramount. And that was the day where I was just give it a year tops. That's what I was saying, that it's going to take them a while to kind of get into the nitty gritty numbers of what Showtime does. And their typical Friday night boxing cards wasn't pulling in much numbers. So I'm assuming somebody at Paramount was let's just see how they perform on the pay-per-views, which makes sense now, because every pay-per-view that they put on Paramount was amazing. You know, the Garcia Tank, the Canelo stuff. So they did do a good job at putting together the premium pay-per-views, but it was a little bit too late in the game to kind of do that. But it was enough for somebody at Paramount to see and say, okay, well, the pay-per-views are doing X amount, but it's not enough to keep this afloat. And so I think that played a huge role. And once again, this is just talking from not just experience in the field of working with such companies like this, but just as an overall, a witness to the sport of boxing and seeing how it's been performing recently during the digital, skill landscape that we're at now.
So I'm going to read you the email that has been in multiple outlets, media outlets, from The Paramount president and CEO, Chris McCarthy, it was in a letter to employees or probably an email earlier this week or this past Tuesday, stating that Showtime will no longer produce sports content or anything like, I don't want to say sports content, but probably live action sports. But I'm sure we'll learn more as the days and weeks ahead. It says in part, as we continue to dedicate a larger percentage of our resources toward premium scripted series that drive subscribers for us in both pay TV and video on demand, Showtime will not be moving forward with boxing or other content produced by Showtime Sports and event program team. McCarthy wrote to employees via email. The company's decision isn't a reflection of the work the team and our partners have done, rather a reality of the world evolving and our shifting content priorities. That sounds a lot like what you've been saying for a long time, Jay, right?
Yeah, that's bang on. That's bang on of what I've been saying. And look, had, once again, what I'm about to say, I'm not saying had they done this, they would have stayed in the game. But had they done what I've been telling them to do since 2017, which was build an extensive content catalog, Paramount right now, it wouldn't have been such an easy decision to do this. I think they would have gave it at least a couple more years, because if Showtime had a content catalog, so in addition to the pay-per-view events and the live boxing series, if they were to come with to Paramount at the time, like where I suggested they start doing this, which is back in 2017, they would have a much tougher decision to make, because they'd be like, okay, look, if we're letting go of Showtime, we're letting go of 20 original series. Because Deontay Wilder would have had a series, Floyd would have had a series, the Charlo brothers would have had a series, like name them, you know what I mean? They would have had like 10 to 15 of the top boxers with their own original series on the platform that has certain amount of views, because time and time again has shown boxing fans love series. Like that's like we go fucking head over heels when there's a Showtime All Access. What makes you think they're not going to want to watch a 14-part series with the Charlo twins where they travel across America eating donuts or some shit? I'm just saying that there's a lot of opportunities that they could have missed, that they missed out on, because it would have been a tougher decision for somebody like an exec at Paramount to be like, look, their Friday night boxing cards are kind of shit, but look, they pull in 100,000 viewers a week on this guy's show. So like, we have a lot more of a catalog to kind of dissect and look at. And they would have maybe still kept Showtime, because the email still writes, as the email reads, they're focused on premium content that drives subscribers. What drives subscribers? Content. What drives content? Original content. Who backs this original content? Sponsors and advertisers. So overall, there would have been a win-win situation for a lot more people involved had they just kind of taken the necessary steps way in advance.
And so I believe the last Showtime boxing broadcast right now, if I'm not mistaken, is Benavidez against Andrade, and which is also a pay-per-view. There was some earlier inclinations and some potential reports earlier in the last month or so about that Showtime possibly could still keep a pay-per-view element going forward, but come exit the non-pay-per-view element completely. It looks like that's not happening as well. Does this mean that for somebody like Al Haymon, who is obviously in charge of the PBC stable, the Premier Boxing Champion stable, and the team over there, there's been some rumors about Amazon talking to him or maybe being in the running. DAZN popped up within the last couple of days. Where do you think is a realistic home for the PBC stable and Al Haymon's fighters?
First of all, it's tough to kind of say from the bench as to what the next move would be for that team over there at PBC. I'm a big fan of PBC. I think they have like the world's best fighters on their stable, which is why they can always kind of go door to door and sell themselves as a package. And remember, PBC, I mean, they're housed as a promotion agency, but what they're really doing is selling reality TV in a way. So there is an opportunity for them to bring forth their new roster to a company like Amazon or DAZN. Out of the two, DAZN does have an immediate, obviously, track record of success with boxing, so that is there. And at the same time, you got Amazon Prime, who's like the biggest, you know, digital e-commerce giant in the world, where they could really start making noise from boxing. And once again, it depends on the executive team at Amazon and what they're thinking to do with PBC. I don't think anybody moving forward is going to follow the same copy and paste recipe that Showtime or HBO did. I think they might want to kind of, you know, reinvent the wheel in terms of how they want boxing presented. And Al Haymon is this very super smart, sharp individual. So he's just going to go with the flow at that point and see what he has to offer, which is one of the main disconnects at Showtime. I don't think Steven and Al were talking about how do we keep this going forever. I think they were just like, how do we keep going to the next pay-per-view? So in terms of the pay-per-view aspect, yeah, Showtime might stick around. I mean, once again, I'm talking from the bench. I do see an opportunity for Showtime to maybe do one or two pay-per-view events a year because they have obviously a track record of producing some pretty epic pay-per-views, but Amazon could very well just snag that from them as well, or DAZN. So it really just depends on where they go.
Right. Do you think DAZN, you know, I'm sure DAZN is trying to make a play. They'd be stupid not to, but do you think somebody like Al Haymon and his team would leverage the offer they get from them because they really don't want to go with DAZN because of the track record that they've had with their relationship over the last couple of years? So they're going to try to leverage the potential offer from them to go with another broadcast partner?
Well, I mean, the mouthpiece for PBC is obviously Leonard, and whatever he said in the past, he can easily just take that back. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, Al's going to go where the money is. Remember, we never hear from Al, so how do we know what Al's thinking about DAZN? He could very well just be a fan of them. So, well, once again, it's just a matter of like what the next play would be. And then as boxing fans, we should support the play because at the end of the day, PBC does, you know, house the best fighters on the planet. So it's more or less about where they go, where they end up. And my biggest feedback or reaction to that would be how are the executive teams from the network side planning on reinforcing this new turn of events and making it, you know, making boxing cool again.
So Ryan Garcia and Terrence Crawford chimed in after the news broke this week about Showtime exiting the boxing business. I think Ryan Garcia tweeted in response to a reporter saying that, you know, the game needs to change. Essentially, they all need to work together and to fix the future of the sport to sustain it. Then Terrence Crawford chimed in as well. And then Oscar De La Hoya had a tweet as well. And then Terrence Crawford replied to that saying, oh, you know, the fighters need to be at the table in terms of the business side and all that. How do you think this all? I know we've talked about it before, but for our listeners who might be listening to you for the first time, Jay, how do you think, you know, roughly how that works out? Because, you know, for example, whether people agree with it or not, the UFC model is so financially lucrative for Endeavor and for their partners because of their business practices and how they work. And yeah, there could, you know, people talk about fighter pay could be higher or you know, or it works out for the business and all that. You know, what are we looking at for boxing here? Because fighters are, you know, especially at the higher echelon, they are directly involved in the business like this.
Yeah, no, and I tweeted this earlier. I said boxing needs to stop using the term our side versus your side of the street, because the fact of the matter is we're all living in the same neighborhood. So it only makes sense to water each other's grass. And what I mean by that is like everybody just has to work collectively. Unfortunately, we're not at the time yet where we can start dissecting the entire fucking sport of boxing to see what the ultimate goal would look like, for example, something like UFC. But we are now at least in a state of play where athletes and boxers should come to the, you know, the business side of things and make more decisions for what goes into their events, because at the end of the day, they're the ones bringing in the eyeballs and the viewers. So Terrence has a point. Garcia has a point from an athlete point of view. And I think Oscar De La Hoya and Lou DiBella, who tweeted as well as promoters, they also have a point where, like, you know, we need to start changing the dynamics of how promoters work with each other and actually come to, like, you know, come to better understandings of what everybody wants. But then again, boxing at the end of the day has always been a business of, like, you know, of selfish nature, where like one promoter wants levers of the other promoter, because there's always going to be an A side and B side, which at the end of the day, you know, is a very fun element of the sport. But to talk about how this whole thing changes from like a sport perspective, that's a longer and more deeper conversation that needs to happen over time.
Do you think there's any dark horse just from your, I'm not saying that you know anything or not. I know we're just kind of talking from the bench here, but we talked about Amazon, DAZN. Do you think there's any dark horse or dark horses in the running that we just haven't heard about that possibly could land the PBC lineup?
I was low key thinking Peacock with NBC, but then I just saw a tweet that Boxer just struck the deal with them. Because last week when I first started hearing rumors about this, I was like, you know what? I even tweeted this. I said, there's always going to be the reverse Uno card because NBC Sports is part of Peacock, and Peacock just hit their 25 or 50. I don't want to misspeak here, but yeah, it's somewhere around the 25 to 50 million subscriber mark. And I was like, dude, it would be epic if PBC ends up back at NBC. But long and behold, just 2 days ago, Boxer announced their partnership with them. So that was supposed to be the dark horse that I thought would happen, but now that it's not going to be there, I mean, I highly doubt that PBC and Box would be on the same platform. So it's literally between Amazon and DAZN. And if there's anybody else in the range, I mean, it would be pretty fun to see who else would be in that race.
I've seen some tweets and some history of the likes in Twitter accounts from, you know, I guess PBC and Mayweather Al Haymon connected figures who are directly connected to him, and saying that there's already a deal in place and it's been in place for a while now. We just don't know yet. If you had to pick, you know, let's just say later this week we get an announcement. Do you think it's DAZN or do you think it's Amazon?
I don't want to say. I mean, I'm not in the position to even say that or make any predictions. So I can only predict the stuff that I know for certain, right? So like, I'm fairly confident when I talk about the overall nature of the digital media landscape, and I can pretty much predict what's going to happen to the sport. But this is really just a coin toss here. So I'm just a fan like everybody else when it comes to, you know, where they end up.
Do you think Steven Espinoza goes along for the ride without Haymon?
It depends on the relationship. It depends on what the network wants. I mean, once again, Espinoza and Haymon have produced some pretty epic pay-per-views together. But the fact of the matter is that there's a disconnect there now. So who knows? Maybe Showtime still sticks around for the pay-per-view events next year. Maybe all Haymon is promising Steven a Wilder fight or reuse fight, or, you know, they might have some stuff going on in the background, because at the end of the day, it's more than just a business relationship. They've been in cahoots with each other as friends for years now. So I would imagine there is something there that's going to linger on.
Because Steven Espinoza, especially in the last press conference he had for, I believe it was a Canelo fight, he had been saying that the last few events that they've had in the last, you know, this whole year have been over $20 million gates. He compared himself to the UFC, saying the UFC has never even hit $20 million and all that. You know, obviously boasting about the success of the events and they had on, you know, Tank Garcia, Canelo, and all that. You know, for people who, you know, are obviously on online, on forums, on Twitter, on all these boxing areas on the internet, who think, like, they look at something like that and say, oh, well, they've had such successful events. Why? I wonder why they're going out of business.
Because
they made a lot of money on it. What would you say to that? What's your take?
Well, then I'd ask, okay, so where does that $20 million gate go? What happens once the money is split and the guarantees are paid and staff is paid and VPs are paid? How much cut does the network get? How much cut does the distributor get? You know what I mean? So there's so much more that goes into just saying we've done $20 million gate. It's like, okay, well, what was the bottom line revenue? After everything's paid and done, after taxes have been paid, what are you guys left with? And whatever's left in the tank, what are you guys planning on doing with that? How are you guys planning on redistributing that money to go further with content, strategy, execution, and additional pay-per-view? How are you guys expanding your pay-per-views going forward? Are you guys, like Dana White said once, and I agree with it to a point, where he says, you know, every pay-per-view is like going out of business. So because we present it like that. You know, we present it like, hey, we got this big-ass pay-per-view coming. Everybody buy it. And it's like, but where's the lead-up? Where's the advertising? Where can we actually see the money going back into the sport? Because UFC does that very well. They pay the fighters shit, but they focus on the actual business side more than they do with actually just paying out the fighters and the staff members. So that's why UFC is like, they're not going anywhere, because they're a properly structured entity that focuses on, you know, funding resources and then refunding and re-resourcing their revenue into the future of the sport. Whereas boxing is like, cool, we just did that amazing pay-per-view. What are we doing with that money generated now? How are we pushing the sport forward? And we've never had an answer for that, because all we get is another pay-per-view 3 months from now. So it wasn't until last year that we finally started seeing the fights that we want, but that was done for the wrong purpose. That was just done because Paramount and Showtime finally collabed, and now they had necessary means to put on the biggest shows. So yeah, the gates might have done well, but then the bottom line is, where do you move forward from there?
Do you think these fighters, especially these higher echelon fighters in boxing, you know, the Canelos, the Terrence Crawfords, the Spences, and all that, the Tyson Furies, wherever this goes, or wherever, you know, this future goes for boxing with De La Hoya chiming in, Lou DiBella, Al Haymon, you know, we're obviously in the transition era, it seems like it. Do you think the fighter pay will stay the same, or would it have to decrease to sustain some type of life for the sport financially going forward?
Yeah, again, like it's an answer that's really tough to provide given the time and place that we're in now, but that's definitely going to start readjusting later on too. I said this in an interview like dating back to 2018, I believe it was on Talk Sport Radio, where I said, once everybody is on the same playing field, which now it looks like that everybody's going to be on an app where you can't use Nielsen numbers to like sugarcoat your viewership, everybody's on an app, then the real deal starts, because now you can start trading and seeing analytics with your competitor and realizing, okay, this is where we have leverage, this is where they don't. And the networks now are just going to have not limited funds, but a certain amount of money to provide for these fighters. And I think boxing is always going to be a prize fighting sport. I don't see us going down in value, but definitely there's going to be a readjustment.
Who's the most valuable commodity in the PBC stable, from your understanding?
I think the entire PBC has like one of the highest commodity value, you know, positions in boxing. They got the best heavyweights. They got the best, you know, I mean, a lot of the fighters are on the way out, but they still hold like a household name. Plus now they got to start breeding the next generation of fighters. I think Top Rank is super, super up there, neck to neck, if not a little bit further than PBC when it comes to just evaluation and their position in the sport. Like, they have never once changed their platform. They've been with ESPN since day one, so they hold a very strong ground. Matchroom obviously has their – Matchroom's probably, like, the last place, all the guys like AJ and whatnot. But Golden Boy, obviously, now that they got the nice – I said this before. I think Golden Boy has the leverage when it comes to the youth. Scrappy Ramirez, like, you know, Virgil Ortiz. They got, like, you know, plenty of fighters on the come up there, and they're doing a very good job at promoting those guys too. So everybody has like a pro and con. But when it comes down to actually setting the payments right amongst each other, it's really just going to come down to what platform has the most leverage because of the network that supports them.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Jay, I appreciate the time. I know this is a quick episode, but you know, I will obviously have you back, especially after we get some type of developing news in regards to the PBC future and where Al Haymon and his team will be landing. Before we let you go, Jay, go ahead and let the listeners know again where they can find you, where they can follow your work, and where they can keep up to date with everything you do, man.
Yeah, just follow me on Instagram, Twitter. It's at producer_Jay and the letter C, producer_JC. Thanks a lot for your time, man. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it, man. And everybody, will be back next week. Mike is out on vacation right now, so we'll be back next week for the regular episode, and we'll go through our reviews, previews, news and notes and analysis. So for once again, for our guest of the week and producer Jay Chandri, I'm Danny Z. This is The Last Round.
Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media. Rate, review, and subscribe. This is The Last Round Podcast.